John Heilemann of Wired Magazine joins us now to talk about some of the stories of the week. Some of the stories. There is, of course, just one overwhelming story. And in a few minutes, we want to take your phone calls at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. John is in San Francisco. John, thank you for being with us this week.
Morning, Scott.
President Bush and the administration are trying to assemble, and in fact, I guess evidence would suggest that so far it seems to be falling into place, a large international coalition to prosecute a worldwide war against terrorism. What's the response been like? Where do you see it leading?
Well, as you said, Scott, I mean, so far the reaction of our friends and allies, and even some of those who have not really traditionally been that friendly or allied with us, has been really remarkably unanimous and consistent. And I think it's worth noting, it's one of the things that I haven't seen in all the voluminous coverage this week, is part of the reason for that, I think, is that this truly is a really international crisis. You know, the president has said, and others have said, that this isn't just a crime against America, but a crime against humanity. And I think when the final tally of victims is finally comes to us, I think it will prove that to be true in spades. You know, I think there are like 500 British people who died in this, and that's more than the total that the IRA has killed in mainland Britain over the whole of the Irish Troubles. Hundreds of Europeans, hundreds of Indians. So people feel very tied into this around the world in a deep and personal way. But I would just say the other thing to remember is that, you know, this is the height of outrage, and this is the moment of the height of international resolve. It will, to some extent, be downhill from here, and you can see where the fault lines are starting to lay out already on the question of, you know, the language of the using force versus the language of the law. So, you know, we'll see how this coalition holds together in the days to come, but so far it seems pretty, it's coming together with remarkable speed and unanimity.
When we talk about holding a coalition together, not only internationally, but domestically, to be frank about it, to go to war against terrorism, what is that war? I mean, this is not a war against a nation with defined borders or even a far-flung military enterprise that can be located and identified.
Right. I mean, it's quite unprecedented. And the notion of a war with an external non-national party, I don't think it has a very there's no sort of formalized status for that in our the vocabulary of foreign affairs. What we don't know yet is what precisely it means even to the Bush administration. They have not yet defined precisely the objective. I mean, at one extreme, you could say we're going to try to root out all terrorists. That's clearly impossible, or at least highly improbable. Mm-hmm. At the other end, they've made it quite clear that we're not just going to try to take out one terrorist like Osama bin Laden. Somewhere in between is what the objective will be, and that will also suggest the means. Again, we have no idea what President Bush and his fellows are thinking about, whether they mean bombing or ground troops or counterterrorism, whether they're talking about months or years. So the question, I think, of success will turn on all of those definitions. And the question of what the risks are will also turn on those definitions. And I think the risks are extremely high and much higher than people recognize, both in the sense that whatever we do may fuel more of the hatred that brought this thing upon us in some ways. And secondly, you know, there is the question of the second strike. And I think, you know, people think that this is about as bad as it could get, and it's not. I mean, if the next step in this escalation of this war could be bio war, you know, we're not talking that if, you know, smallpox or anthrax or nerve gas were to get released someplace in America, you wouldn't be talking about thousands. You'd be talking about tens or hundreds of thousands of casualties, possibly millions of deaths. Yeah. I mean, it's really bad this week, but it could actually be worse.
Let me ask you, John, about what your estimation is of the stomach and mettle of the American people for the kind of long-term involvement that it suggests. I mean, we're talking about a war that could include a draft of America's young men and women nowadays. We're talking about a war that could include casualties in a size that the United States public has not been willing to accept, really, since World War II.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, that does depend, as I said before, about what this war actually means. And I do think there is a huge gulf between what most Americans think when they hear even this very, very extreme, tough rhetoric on the part of the president and what it might actually mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, if you talk to terrorist experts about what it would take to really wage a thoroughgoing war against a lot of terrorists around the world, you would be talking about years and months of bloody and probably pretty ugly warfare, right? I mean, you'd have to get into bed with some pretty nasty characters and conduct not just potentially a lot of ground warfare, but there would be lots of retaliation, and there'd be effectively a lot of assassinations that the United States would be sponsoring around the world. Whether we will be, I think right now in New York City, there's a lot of stomach for doing almost anything. Whether that will be true 6 months from now and whether it will be true in other places besides the places that were directly affected this week, I am not nearly so confident of.
Let me ask you a question on how that relates to evincing this war at home. Federal Aviation Authority has issued new, much more stringent regulations for airport security. In your judgment, is this going to make a difference, or in a sense, is this fighting the last war?
Well, I think that that you can't criticize the FAA for tightening up airport security at this point, obviously. There's obviously huge gaping holes in our airport security that allowed this to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's good that we're doing these things. But I do think that your suggestion about the last war is sort of on. I mean, if Osama bin Laden is responsible for this, and if he's thinking about the next strike, he's not thinking, if he's not going to play the airport card again, you know, he's not going to go back to it and try to do another hijacking. He's going to be thinking about, you know, the realm of the chemical or the biological or even the tactical nuclear. So while it's fine that the FAA is doing what it's doing, it's necessary and commendable. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't take a false sense of security from that. We should be also thinking about how to combat or prevent where the next the form of terrorism that might be coming next around the corner, which is probably not the one that we just saw.
Have you thought about how this is going to change the minutiae of our daily lives, not just for those who travel by airplanes, but for the commute to work, for the privacy, sense of privacy people feel when they send emails to each other?
I think that people are, we've heard some talk about whether people would be willing to accept curtailments of civil liberties. I think that it's not really just that our privacy is going to be put, that we're going to have to give up some of our privacy, or at least that will be proposed. But rather the question is that we're going to have to actually, I think, be looking at whether we're going to have to give up some of our anonymity. In fact, giving up our anonymity altogether. I have some friends in the Thai tech community who are saying this is the biggest boon you could imagine for things like face recognition software and some really sophisticated software that can correlate. I mean, right now, your credit card company knows where you spend money, but there's nobody out there actually trying to correlate your spending and your travel with the spending and travel of other people. Mm-hmm. And there are not people or software actively looking to try to match you up and figure out patterns of what you're doing out in the world. That is probably one of the things that people are going to start talking about doing quite seriously now. And I think Americans recognize that maybe their privacy isn't very secure right now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they recognize that what might be proposed is really a wholesale grant of giving up their sort of sense of anonymity, their ability to move around in the world and have and really kind of be anonymous in some sense.
John, the economy, the major markets were closed down this week. Of course, the economy was essentially on hold. When they open again on Monday, what do you see developing for the economy over the next few months?
Well, not clear about what the stock market will do in the short term, but mm-hmm. I think that it's somewhat naive. You hear some people saying that people will rally around the American economy. I hope that's true, but I think given the shaky state of the American economy before this week, I mean, mm-hmm. consumer confidence was pretty wobbly coming into this. You can't help but think that people are going to be, that if nothing else, that is going to take a hit and that people are going to become somewhat more conservative about their spending. People are clearly rattled all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's quite likely that we're going to get tipped over the edge into certainly a national, possibly a global recession. If we weren't so close to it already, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but we were pretty close to it already, and I think it's probably now inevitable.